I will bless thee, O Lord. Precious Savior, precious Savior. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, precious Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise your holy name.
Glory,
hallelujah, hallelujah,
hallelujah, hallelujah.
Praise your name, Lord. Thank you,
oh God.
Oh, I love you, Lord.
Thank you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Praise your holy name,
thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Savior. I love you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise his name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, God. Hallelujah.
Praise your holy
name. Jesus. You know, God the Father, you need to begin to talk to him some. I was just telling him, it's hard to know how to approach something so great and grand. And we don't, you know, I felt like I don't know him. Only in a measure. But then I thought, I do know him some. His son has caused me to know something about him. I've been born of him. Think about that, saints. This great God, source of all life and being, and all the grandeur that you know about life and the existence of all that was created, that you've been born of him. My.
Amen.
And then you are learning something about him. His son has caused us to know something about him. His character, his love, his mercy, his judgments, his righteousness, his holiness. Jesus has put us in contact with him and caused us to be born of him. And we do know him in a measure. But let me tell you something. There's so much that about him that we are yet to find out. Oh, God, when I think about it, when I think that I'm connected to this great God of the universe, the all of creation, he that has no beginning, and that I've been born of his spirit because of his love, and that Jesus suffered to let me have that, to let me be a part of this. Ah, Lord, I don't know how to put it into words what I feel about it. But just to think that you know God, in, at least in a measure, of how you've learned about his thinking, his mind, to some extent about his holiness, his mercy, his love, his grace, his righteousness. Oh, saints, you're blessed, let me tell you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. What a God. Oh, talk to him. Get to know him better. Begin to talk to him. Jesus won't mind. In fact, that's what he desires, is that you would be connected to his Father in the same way he is. You're born of the same substance Jesus is born of. My God, think about that. Think about what's available to you. Just through faith and entering in to knowing more about him. It's available. It's available. I'm telling you, there's more available. We're living beneath our privilege as his children. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, God, blessed be the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Got it on? Yes. I know that there's several already gone to go to the camp meeting. And this is your youth night. So, but I appreciate Sister Leslie coming back in. The children, we're glad to have you. It's Wesley, I believe, isn't it? Yes, and so we're thankful to have her here with us tonight, and let's just see what the Lord has for us. This has been a really good presence here of the Lord, and I've been mentioning as last week that about our worship and really touching God more in the spirit. And I'll tell you, a preacher has to be careful about saying anything, because it's the hardest thing in the world to get a church to worship in God, and it's the easiest thing in the world to stop it. The last thing you want to do is stop the moving of the Spirit or people having freedom to worship. But we've got into a little bit of a rhythm or tradition of moving out. And I just want to mention this. I'd like for us to try something. And I don't want to put it into a law, and I don't want to hinder anybody. But I would like for us to try, when we're singing songs and worshiping God, just to hold yourself steady and begin to pull on the Spirit yourself individually. And then when you get a feeling from God to move out or do whatever, you know, you feel like God wants you to do, do it. See, there's another side of this of, you know, dancing for our joy, lifting your hands and praising God, you know, without the Spirit having to give you the unction to do it. But I'm just giving you a little temporary instruction of something I'd like to see us try to get us back into really tapping into a little deeper worship and really getting a hold of the Spirit rather than just going through the motions. Seems like we've kind of gotten a rut of going through the motions but not really touching the hem of His garment. But I'm just saying that let's try to really reach through the veil of the flesh and touch Him, and then let's see where God will take us in that. I could feel that working here tonight, and I think God was, you know, just kind of wanting to encourage us, and, you know, and what I said the other day of what I'm feeling, I think God's in on this. I think He wants us to, I think the Lord's asking us to come up a little higher and touch Him in a little greater way. So let's work on that, but don't let me hinder you. I mean, if you feel like moving out, move out. You know you've got that freedom. But I'm just saying, I'd like to see the Spirit of God start talking to us. I'd like to see somebody jump up and run back and touch a doorknob because God told them to do it. I'd like to see some of that. That's available to us. Wait on the Spirit. Watch the Spirit. And let it lead you and guide you. And let's depend on it. Let's look for God to come in these services and let Him use me. Everybody say me. Amen. Yeah, let Him use me, O Lord, if that's what you want to do. I'm available. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, you young people, we're glad you're a part of us. You're a vital part. You're so important. And I'm looking for y'all to step up and fill a great gap that's right here in our midst. There's a gap. There's a void that we need filled. And I think only the youth are going to be able to fill it. So I'm for you. Praise God.
Austin Brother Smith said, the Spirit we felt today, I just wanted to raise my hands. Amen. A heart of thanksgiving, a mouthful of praise. I got a mouthful of praise here now, a heart of thanksgiving. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for God to give me a sense of direction. God sent a point in my nose here, and it's where He wanted me to be, and I'm thankful for that. That's where my mind's been a lot this week, is direction, where God wants our nose is pointed. Because wherever you point your nose, you ever notice that when you're driving or riding a motorcycle or anything, you really point your chin and your nose, that's where you go. Hole in the road. You look at that hole in the road, you're going to hit that hole in the road. And they call that a target fixation. It's a smart word. You use that at the dinner table, get some extra meal. You look at that, and you're like, why did I hit that? You're looking at it. And that's what I've been thinking a lot lately, is knowing my sense of direction. Yeah. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that God looked down. I was thinking that me and Kel hung out the other night, and it was so pretty outside. I know he was sitting there waiting for me to go inside, and I just laid down in the grass and looked up. Looked at all those stars and thinking, all those people in this world, everything He made on this earth in the 7 days, He looked down and thought of me. He looked down and thought of me. I'm thankful for that. He brought me here. He gave me a sense of direction. He brought my grandparents here, brought my parents here. And you know what? I don't have to be here. I could have stayed at home, watched SportsCenter. I know the Thunder and the Heat are going to play pretty soon. I'm kind of psyched about that. I'm ready to see it. But you know what? I'm here. I'm thankful for that. I was going through some scriptures and just whatever goes through my mind. Just while they were both having youth choir practice, I got in on some of it. I was sitting there just ciphering. I was just thinking about one of the verses that came out. It was Isaiah 40:31. And they shall lift up my eyes, lift up my wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, to wait. That's another thing. Direction. Sometimes you come to a crossroads. You ever get that way? You come to a crossroads. And what do you do? What do you do? Go left? Is that the Lord's will? I don't know. Go right? Is that the Lord's will? You go straight? You go backward? What's the Lord's will? You know what you do? You wait.
That's it.
You stand still. You lift up your hands and you say, Lord, I'm looking for an answer. Give it to me right now. I'll sit here and wait as long as I have. And then I read a long time ago something Charles Spurgeon said, and it quickened on me the Lord when I'm sitting there thinking about it. And I learned about it in seventh grade. And here I am, 19, to be 20, and it came out of nowhere. Something God showed me back when I was 13, 14 years old, something Charles Spurgeon said. I had to go look it up. Stand still. Keep the posture of an upright man, ready for action, expecting further orders. Cheerfully and patiently. Key word there, patiently. You don't want to get in a rush. You start getting in a rush, you start making mistakes. You ever notice that? That's when I always get my tickets when I'm driving, is when I get in a rush. And after you start making your mistakes, awaiting the directing voice. Awaiting the directing voice. You know what he's talking about when he said, awaiting the directing voice. When he's coming down, he's going to talk to you. And it will not be long ere God shall say to you, as distinctly as Moses said to the people of Israel, go forward. Go forward. You wait there long enough, God's voice will quicken upon you. When you sit there and try to get in tune with God's mind, you will hear it say, go forward. Take a left. Take a right. Go back from whence you came. Or go forward. Isn't that something you need to think about? Go forward here tonight. Go this way. Go that way. Lift up your hands. Quicken your mind. And think about where God wants you to go. I'm thankful that God is giving me, not revelation, but he's quickening my mind to think about where does he want me to go. To stand still, that's the hardest thing, especially being a man. As I've heard about Smith. I heard our granddad talk about this before. Worst thing about being a part of a man, you want to fix it. You want to fix it right now. There's a problem. That's a bad thing with girlfriends, too, because some things you can't fix. And that's just annoying when you sit there. I want to fix it. Just shut up, Zach. I don't want you to fix it. I want to complain about it. True. I better watch what I say. But that's true. Sometimes that's the hard part of being a man is just you want to go forward. You want to mean going backwards is better than going forward. I know I get that way in traffic. I'll go 20 miles away before I sit in traffic. Ain't that the truth? I mean, that's the hardest part about it. Is standing still and waiting. A lot of times your mind gets ahead of you. I went on a motorcycle ride up in North Mountain. You do a lot of trail riding road riding and everything. And the guy I bought the motorcycle from cut the side of my airbox out. Man, nobody know what that is. If you get water in there, you're in trouble. It gets in the engine and starts all over with the crying. So we come to a creek crossing, and it's up to your thigh. I know I'm short, but it's up to my thigh. And that's it. And everybody else went across to take me, and they're all going, come on, Zach, come on, Zach. I'm like, I know if I want to go across that thing, I'll be walking home. And I was like, no, I better go around. So me and some other guys, we went a different route, took some road, and, you know, that just killed me. Just killed me, because, you know, you're being a man, I want to go across that river, I want to go across that. Going forward is better than going back that way. And I was thinking, I was all down on myself. But so we get to the crossroads, and we're waiting, we call and try to figure out where we're going to meet up with them at. And so we hear, and this is the middle of nowhere. There ain't nobody up there, except maybe some hillbillies. And then, sorry, but there's nobody up there. And we look over there, and there's this guy on a Harley Davidson, flopped over in a ditch, just sitting there. The legs, motorcycle hadn't pinned under. And we're like, holy cow, we better run over there and help this guy out. So we go over there, and we lift it up, and you okay? Oh, yeah, I'm fine. He takes off. I'm like, well, he's just embarrassed. We're working over his pride. And so we get over there and just, I'm like, wait a minute. And it dawned on me. I was on the ride home. It dawned on me. God had the airbox cut out for a reason. If I wasn't there, guess what would have happened? That guy would be sitting there for a couple days. Well, maybe not a couple days, but for a long time with a broken leg with that motorcycle on him. And sometimes you got to go back and you got to wait. You got to, going forward and being stupid isn't always good. Sometimes you got to go back and you know what? Know your limitations and go back. Yeah. And I'm thankful that God's shown me some limitations. Like, I don't try to get up and sing long, big song specials because I know I can't sing very good. I know my limitations. But I'm thankful to be here tonight. This spirit was just too good. I had to get up and say something, and it was just too quiet. Just way too quiet. So I want to hear something. I want to hear God working y'all's lives. I know campground's coming up, and I won't be able to go, but my heart's going to be there with you. And I've been praying about it, and I want y'all to come back with something. Come back with a fire. I know our youth meeting is coming up. We're going to need a fire. Something to light under our feet. Some fire in our bones. So I don't want y'all to come back and with nothing. Y'all come back, oh, it was a good campground. Met a cute girl. That's it. But no, I want y'all to come back with something in y'all's heart. I want to come back with a burden. I want y'all to come back with this. And I'm thankful to be here.
never fails. Get up here, have a great message planned out, get up here, forget it all. But, no, I was sitting there thinking, and that song that Sister Stewart was singing, I don't know, I thought of when, for some reason, it made me think of another song, Raising My Hands to You, and it made me think that, you know, raising your hands is hard to do when you're carrying a lot of weight with you, you know. So, and it made me think, how much baggage do I carry around with me that I really don't need to be dragging around? Wouldn't it just be easier just to turn it over to God, let it go, and, you know, either stand still or move on or whatever God wants me to do? And I thought it occurred to me, too, that having grown up with this often, and after you've been here a while, you start to take things for granted of, you know, where you are and what it is that we truly have here. And we go around, you know, that I think that's why so many youth start to become disillusioned, because I kind of have my own idea on this, where the two greatest points in a Christian's walk is when he's just a child, and it's all he knows. It's, if it's the center of his parents' life, it's the center of his life. He's just following them. I mean, and he will do it wholeheartedly. And then I think it's when somebody is older and they've been through the fire, so they know truly what they have. It's not just some blind obedience. And I believe that the problem, at least with some of the younger people, is we start to become disillusioned because we haven't had the experiences of saying, or maybe some of us haven't, of saying, this is where I'm at, this is the greatest thing on earth. We can, I know it is, but that still doesn't, you have to believe it. You know, it's, no matter how many times you sing that song, read that poem, or read that verse, it doesn't matter if you don't believe it. You have, it has to become a conviction. You can't just go through the motions. It's got to be a part of you. You can't live two lives. And it's hard to do, because I get out of work, there's other influences, there's people out there, you know. You know, I do my best. You know, sometimes I make a mistake or two here and there, but I don't want to be one person in church and then step out and be somebody else completely. I don't want to, at the end of the day, I don't want to sit down and think of, well, who am I really? Am I the nice church boy that everybody sees, knows, and loves? Or am I some, you know, or at least I hope y'all do. If you don't, y'all are doing a very good job of deceiving me. Keep it up. I don't know if I could take it. But I don't want to lay down at night and think of, what have I done with myself? I've just put up a smoke screen so y'all would think I'm something that I'm not. And all the while I'm searching for some phantasmal dream of I don't know what, when I don't want to be the person that wakes up one day with nothing and realizes that they had it all along and they threw it all away because they were after something that they didn't even know what it was. They just knew it's not what they had. But why chase something when you have it all here? You have, I dare say most of us have loving families. We have a true message here. You have friends that would help you through anything. What is worth trading all that for? What is worth stepping out those doors never to be seen again? Nothing comes to mind, and I just want to be able to stand fast, listen to God's plan for me, and do what needs to be done.
I want to stand. I want to say I appreciate the spirit we've felt here tonight. In that song, I do want to give the Lord a praise. I want to give him all my praise and not just a little bit of it. And I've been thinking this last these last few days about the campground coming up. I am going, and I think I was asking myself what do I want to get out of it. I agree with you, Zach. I don't want to just go there and then come back with nothing and say, oh, it was fine, but I didn't really get anything out of it. I mean, we go there because there's something God wants to do there. There's something God wants to do when his people gather. He wants to give us something. I think he wants to give us something all the time, but there's something special about these meetings where everybody just gathers together and praises him. He usually does something for me. He gives me a greater vision, or help or refreshes my faith, or helps me to remember what we're doing here, why we're here, that it's not just something we're not just going through the motions, but this is something real and something special. And I think I got myself kind of set on the idea. I want to reach out, and I want to work on yielding to the Holy Ghost, and feeling the Holy Ghost in me again, yielding to it, being able to work in it. But you know, there are so many reasons I could go. I could go because I want to set a good example. I can go because I want to work. I want to see people. I can go because because I just like the opportunity to praise God with his people. I can go because I want to hear the teaching, or I can go because I want to feel his spirit. But what does God want me to get out of this meeting? Maybe I need to say, Lord, I'm not going here because I want to have my will in my life. I'm going here because I'm trying to live for your will. I'm trying to find what you want in my life. So I want to have in my mindset when I go to this meeting, what do you want me to get out of this? I think there's something you want to show me. There's something you want to give to all of us. But what is it that you want to give? Not what we want. That's that selfish spirit. I want this. I want to feel this, and that's that. No. It's good to feel the spirit and to want that, but I want to focus more on what does God want to do for me. And I'm really excited about this meeting. Please keep us in your prayers. I want us to come back with something. I want us to come back with more of a fire, and I'm excited about this. I'm thankful to be here tonight.
Tonight, you know, you, like they said, you have so much on your mind when you get up and then you stand up and it all goes, and I certainly don't want that to happen, but there's just been so much that's been on my mind just from the start of service. You know, I guess I should back up. This past couple weeks, you know, with work, I've been transferring and things like that, and it just seems like, you know, like Brother Smith was mentioning about just getting in the motions of things, and you know, I was coming into church and I was saying, Lord, you know, I need to feel you. And I'm sorry if I go off topic. I'm just trying to convey what's on my mind and what's on my heart. But the past couple weeks, I would come into church and when I'd leave, when I was at home, whatever I was doing, just about every day there was the prayer on my mind that, Lord, I just need to feel your spirit. Lord, I just need you to come in and remind me that you're still my Savior. You're still my Lord, you know. And all this time, you know, that was my main thought, you know. And we came into service tonight, and Sister Lynette started with that course. And, you know, I was thinking, the thought was going on through my mind that it says, I will bless thee, O Lord, I will bless thee, O Lord, with a heart of thanksgiving. And I was thinking, you know, Zach kind of mentioned this, and I think Jaron did too. The thoughts that were coming to my mind wasn't, thank you, Lord, because you've given me a cell phone. Thank you, Lord, because, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I was even thinking, you know, thank you, Lord, for things like my family. But what was really on my mind was, thank you, Lord, for those trials, you know, that I went through. You know, thank you, Lord, for that broken home that I grew up in, because it taught me to have a tender spirit towards you and to follow you no matter what. You know, and I was just thinking, you know, Jaron said something and it triggered my mind, and it's going, but I'm trying to get it back on track. But where, you know, I come in here and I have all these things, all these burdens, all these everything that's weighing me down, but I'll lift my hands anyways and I'll praise you, Lord, because those trials and those things that I'm going through, it's going to get me to somewhere better, you know, and how Zach was referring to, you know, just standing still and not necessarily always going forward or turning left and right. You don't know which way you're going to go right now, you know, but I was thinking there's so much, each one of us have something different going on in our life. You know, we may all come to the same church. We may hang out occasionally, things like that. But we each have different circumstances. And I was thinking, if I could just come here with a heart of thanksgiving for no matter what's going on, no matter what is weighing me down, no matter what, I don't know what direction to go. I don't know what to do about this or that situation. If I'll just come and I'll praise the Lord. And I think that was something that Brother Smith was trying to refer to, or that's something I got out of it, was just when we come here, not to get in the routine, but just to praise the Lord. You know, when you walk in the door, open your heart up, you know, and it's not something that's easy for me to do. And, you know, but like I said, as I was coming the past couple weeks, I just kept thinking, Lord, I need something, you know, and we were talking about this fire that the youth have and that we need more of a fire. And I was thinking, yeah, we can have a fire and I can run around the church and we can jump and we can holler and everything. But I also need that fire. I need that fire that endureth. I need something that's going to go with me no matter, along the way. You know, it doesn't have to be running around the church. My thoughts of what I needed for myself, you know, you come into church, you know what you need sometimes and sometimes you don't. But I just needed to feel the Lord tonight. I just needed to raise my hands and say, Lord, thank you. I'll bless you for everything that you've brought me through. You know, there's so many things that just can weigh us down. You know, you had a fight with your parents. You know, parents, you had a fight with your kids. I don't know. You fight with your friends, your siblings. You feel hurt because somebody said the wrong thing to you. And there was miscommunication. We talked on communication in Bible study. There was miscommunication between friends. But, you know, no matter what's going on, you can take it to the Lord. You can take it to him. And that's just what's been on my mind, that, you know, I can stand here and I can just lift my hands and say, thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for me, for those trials that you brought me through, because they've got me to where I'm at. You know, I'm trying to remember what Jaron said that really, really struck my mind, that he was saying, you know, something about how you can, no matter what chains are holding you down, you know, you may not know which way to go, but if you'll just raise your hands and he'll show you the direction, you know, that's just, I don't know if I'm really conveying my heart or what's on my mind, but I'm just so thankful that tonight we have a chance. I know what it was that I was thinking of during that song was, you know, I was thanking him for all the things that he's brought me through and then all the things that I have currently. And it says, with my hands lifted up, and my mind went to, I have a friend from college that doesn't have control of one of his arms, you know? And I was thinking, what if I didn't have that? What if I wasn't able to raise my voice and praise him, raise my hands and give him thanks, you know? And I was just, there was just so much going on in my mind about how thankful I truly am that I just have the opportunity, you know? Yes, we can get excited and we can jump up and down that we have this opportunity, but if you stop and think about it, we have an opportunity. You know, like Brother Smith said, the great God of heaven who created everything from beginning, when there was no beginning, when there was no start. You know, Brother Mike sings that song, How Big Is God? He's done so much, but yet he's taken the time. He gave me the opportunity to come in here, to have an open heart, to just raise my hands and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for everything that you're doing. You know, I believe he's working with our youth. I believe he's touching them. You know, I had a conversation with one of the youth earlier this week, and there's just a lot going on, and I don't know. Yes, I feel God in this, but I don't know, you know, I'm just so unsure. And I said, if you'll just stop and raise your hands and thank him. When you get the opportunity, when you come in here to just stop, say, thank you, Lord, you know, and I never want to forget that. I want to always have that praise in my heart and in my mind, you know. And then as I open up my heart to him, as I bless him, as I do what I'm called to do, he'll show me which way to go. And, you know, that's just all these thoughts. I hope I tied them together. But I'm just so thankful tonight that we have this opportunity to be, you know, used of the Lord and to fill his spirit and to do what he's calling us to do. I'm just very thankful tonight.
Just wants to follow, I'm willing to obey. just longs to follow. I'm willing to obey. Thank you.
here tonight. And that song, Lead Me, Lord, I want that to be in my life. I want God to lead me. I graduated about a couple of weeks ago. And ever since then, I've been praying every night for God to show me what He wants me to do, what He wants me to do in my life, to strive more for Him, to guide me. I mean, I don't want to go back to where I came from. I know that this past couple of years, after, since we've been back in church, I've noticed that I've changed more with, I've changed my friends, because this time I want to stay. I don't want to go back out there. Because I know if I stay here, I'm going to win in the outcome. And I know that God can give me everything I need as long as I keep my eyes on Him. And like Zach said, you know, once you get to that crossroads, if you just stop and raise your hands and pray to Him, He's going to show you. You're going to have to wait, but He's definitely going to show you where He wants you to go. And I just want to keep my faith with Him. I'm thankful to be here tonight. Well, I heard some, I went to see my brother Saturday in prison, and the parole board has been trying to get the governor out of the way because he's not letting any prisoners out. Well, if this bill is passed at the end of this year, my brother will be able to go up for parole by next year. And just keep him in your prayers. Thank you.
Well, I just wanted to stand up tonight and say how thankful I am to be here. I just wanted to raise my hands and just say, you know, everybody else has raised their hands, and the Spirit that's come in and filled us. And I've been sitting back there thinking how that, you know, everybody as they got up and talked and, you know, said what they wanted to say, and how that, you know, God, you know, didn't have to get me here. You know, I could have been out in whatever walk of life, but God thought of me, and He brought me in, or, you know, He's allowed me to stay in here. And, you know, some of them has mentioned how that they've come to crossroads in their lives, or they'll be coming to crossroads as they get older. And I was sitting back there thinking, you know, Zach had said how that he came to that crossroads and he was going to have to either cross that river and, you know, risk drowning his bike and having to walk back home, or he could just say, you know what, why risk it whenever I can just go the way around it. And I leaned over to Dad and I said, you know what, Dad, you know, that's happened to me before. You know, I'm not that old. I'm not as old as these other guys. I haven't been through as many things as they have, but I have been through things to where, you know, it either comes down to the thing of, am I going to follow God and do what He tells me and just take the easy way, or is my pride going to get in the way? And, you know, that's what happens whenever, you know, you say, you know what, God, I've come to a crossroads in my life, and, you know, more times than not, I know that, you know, my pride's, you know, starting to stir up, and I'm like, you know what, I can deal with it. It's no big deal. I can handle it. And, you know, it always gets you into a deeper, and, you know, it just always gets worse and worse and worse until finally you just got to raise your hands and just say, God, would you just let it roll off my back and just let me, just wash me of it and just let me start new. And I was just thinking that how many problems that people are with in their everyday life, and how that, you know, people, they don't have the same opportunities that I have. You know, they don't know, you know, where I am and what great Spirit fills this church house every time we walk in here, every service. they don't have those opportunities, and I do, and my pride's going to get in the way and hinder me from getting there. And how that, you know, that's all it is. And, you know, some of y'all may not know me as good as others or whatever, but I know my parents know, and I know my brother knows more than anything, that whenever my pride gets in the way and I decide that I'm going to do it my way, that's just the way it is. And it don't matter, come hell or high water, I'm going to get through it. And, you know, and it just, and I just want to stand up and say, how that, you know, no matter what, if I'll just come to this church and kneel at the altar wherever I am and just let God take control of me, you know, no matter what, it'll all be okay. And I just want to stand up and say how appreciative I am and everything that's happened so far.
Just truly enjoyed the service, you know, from the beginning and to now, and I know it's going to get better. And just listening to our young brothers and the decisions that they are thinking and they are listening is a joy to my heart. When Zach got up, the first thing that went through my mind was I was 27 when I came here. You know, and I look at you young people and think, what a blessing it is that you are here at even a younger age than when I first came in. But when Zach got up and got to talking, his dad's got a little video y'all need to see sometime. Sister Ann was sitting just about right here, and he was just a little wee fella, and for some reason he had some drumsticks, I don't know why, but It was probably Easter Sunday or pretty close, and I had on a hat, and he was behind me. He was behind me, and so I'd feel that hat pop every now and then. And at the time, Brother Brett was in the PA, and, you know, he was looking at him, you know, and I'd turn around and look at him. He'd just snicker, and then, you know, just as soon as everybody took their eyes off of him, he's doing it again. You know, so it's really a joy to see, you know, that he is still here, along with God has added more to our family. And I was thinking about sitting here, if Brother Painter, if you could put the song up that they sung a minute ago, I was thinking about the young people, you know, because for me, 27 was young, and I walked into something that was just so totally strange and opposite of what I was raised that, you know, and anybody that comes in, as well as you that are being born here, you are a baby in the Lord, and you are a baby for several years, but then the responsibility comes. As Dylan was saying, I graduated high school a few years ago, so he's at that crossroads that he just said that he wants to stay, you know, that he knows it's better than what happened several years ago for him. And I can truly appreciate that, as well as everybody's talk today. It's hard to take the first step when I don't know the way. Each day is so uncertain, I learn to walk by faith. Well, us as Christian, as your parents, we're still doing that, you know. We are still doing that. There we come to crossroads that we're like, God, I need you because I don't know which way to go. And then, Brother Painter, can you give me the other verse? This one was, what, your plans for me are perfect. I never need to fear, For though at times I feel alone, I know that you are near. My heart just longs to follow. I'm willing to obey. Amen. Take my hand and lead me, and I'll follow all the way. Well, years ago when I first came around, that I'm willing to obey, that is the one most important thing right there. And then you need to look up and say, I never need to fear. You know, it doesn't matter what your family's doing. It doesn't matter what your friends are doing. If you will look and just say, I never need to fear, and I'm willing to obey you, Lord, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And take that first step. Take that first step, even out of here. If you'll take that, this is what I learned myself, to get over that fear. If I will take that first step and get to here, then I can go the rest of the way up here. And it's, I'm just giving you a lesson that God helped me with, because when I first came around here, I'd take an F as to do an oral report, just as pretty as you please. I didn't want to do no oral report, you know. And Brother Wayne would tell you, I just done an about face of what he thought I was. He thought that I would sit there and you'd never hear from me, and I would be this quiet little person that would just, you know, just sit here. But because I was willing to obey, God has given me more. And I've not went back out there. You know, I've never had the desire to leave. And I just so thank Him. I just so thank Him for that. So as you come to each crossroad, whether it's today at 18 or 20, or whether it's at 25 or 27 or 50 or 75, just look at God and He'll show you which way to go.
Appreciate the Lord tonight. Good youth service that we're having, but not just a youth service. I don't know if we ever just have a complete youth service because we all get up. I think my battery's dead here. It may not be. Don't tell my wife I just said battery. I would like to say that I thank the Lord for all He's done for me, for helping us and being with us. And today is, of course, my wife isn't here. She's sick, and I'm sorry for that. I'm sure she'll get well. She usually does. But she has all these other years' time, so I figure she'll survive this time. Today is my 22nd anniversary. 22 of them down. And a whole lot more to go, hopefully. And this is always been a good walk. My wife found me, and I found her, and we found each other in high school, and we were 16. And the Lord has put us together. She needed me, and I didn't think I needed her, but I found out later on I did. And a good godly marriage is one of the greatest blessings really God can bestow on a man. The Bible says when you find a wife, you found a good thing. I don't want to get off on that. It's not where I'm headed. Just want to tell my wife, I'm sure she'll be listening, I want her to know that I love her, and she's the jewel of my life, and I appreciate all she's done for me and putting up with me. As I grew, you know, she was born in this, basically. She came in when she was 3 years old. I wasn't. I came in when I was 16, and it's easy. It's amazing how fast your body, your mind gets molded at such an age. Think back to you as 16. How molded were you by the time you were 16? I was listening to these young men talk, and some of them are 20, 19, 18. Jaron is 17. Justice is 14. And how that their mindset, where they are, what they're looking for, what they're seeking in life, can all be obtained and found right here in the kingdom of heaven. But it's not without cost. It's not without trials, as Brother Brandon was talking about. It's not without tribulation. Nothing good is ever free. You want something good in life, it's going to cost you something. And you want salvation, it's going to cost you something. It's, as Brother Smith said, it's probably going to cost you some family members. It's not what you desire, but light don't like darkness, and darkness don't like light. Jesus came into the world, and He was the light of the world, and the world comprehended Him not. It didn't recognize Him, even though He's the brightest thing there. But of the greatest mind that ever walked the earth at that time, greatest mind that's ever walked the earth at this time too, by the way, He told him, said, you go tell him that a wiser than Solomon is here. And tell, who was it, John the Baptist, tell John that. But even with his great mind, his great intellect, all the abilities he had, he never made anybody less than him feel like they was less than him. He didn't mock them for their ignorance of something. He didn't chide them for their he did correct them in some areas, but he didn't belittle them because their mind wasn't where his was. He was the Lord personified. He could do anything, and he knew everything. It's hard to trick somebody when they know the game better than you, isn't it? And one of the thoughts that's come to my mind today was that in 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter, it goes in there and it starts talking that Jesus will come. And this ties into what Brother Smith was saying, that He's going to come and show who is only the only blessed potentate. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, not Himself. He's not coming to show Himself. He's coming to show who is the only blessed potentate, King of Kings. If we can, let's go to 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter. And I've got my Bible there because I was looking at this. And there's lots of things that has been said here today. I think that song, that very first song we start out with, was, I will bless Thee, O Lord, with a heart full of thankfulness, or with a heart full of thanksgiving. I thought that song was so fitting. I'm not always so thankful, but you know that when you develop a true heart of thankfulness, you cannot help but bless the Lord. Otherwise, anything less than that isn't a true heart of thankfulness or of thanksgiving. But when you're truly thankful for all the things He's done for you, that He brought you out of captivity, that He brought you out of the mire, that He gave you the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, that He's brought your children in. Y'all don't have kids yet, but you will one day, and more than likely. And the many things that He's put you in a church and gave you good families. He's gave you people that care about you, people that are concerned about you, people that take an interest in you. And He took an interest in you. And though something may happen and money may get tight, I'm still thankful for those tough times. It's in those tough times that you really learn to appreciate what you have. You learn to value what you have. The value of something. See, if I'm going to sell you something, if Brother John McAfee's here, he'd tell you this, but he can set a new car out there and he can put a price tag on that car, but the value of that car is only worth what somebody's willing to pay for it. Now, you can set a price tag of $10,000 on it, but if Joe Blow off the street comes in and he's only willing to pay $8,500 and no more, and nobody else is wanting to pay anything else, guess what? If he wants to sell it, he's going to have to sell it for $8,500 because that's the people set the value of it. Well, what is the value of your salvation? Is it worth going and doing some tangible thing just for a kick, for a high, I don't mean any induced anything, I just mean for fun? What value do you put on salvation? What are you willing to pay for it? Someone said this morning, I want to give all, or they might have said that a while ago. Time runs together for me. But I believe it was this morning, they said something that I want to give my all, but am I giving my all, or am I just giving all I want to give? Am I doing my all, or am I just doing all I want to do? That's the question to ask. Am I really, truly doing what I need to be doing, or am I just doing what I want to do? As Jaron said, throwing a smoke screen up. And as we get into this chapter here, 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, I'm sorry. He says, I'll just start here in verse 6. It says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out." Trust me. It's kind of like this old boy died one time, and he's a millionaire, and they put all of his money. He wanted to be buried with all of his money. So they put all of his money in his coffin with him, just big old trash bags full of money. And they had an open casket, and his best friend come by, and he pulled out a big old knapsack, and he just started taking all that money, putting in that sack, and he got all done. He pulled out his checkbook and wrote a check, put in that coffin. He said, his buddy up said, "What are you doing? That man wanted to take that with him." He said, "Well, he gets up there and needs that money, he can cash that check." So it's pretty certain you're not going to take anything out with you. You came into this thing, quite honestly, you came into it blind, naked, and dumb. Just to put it bluntly, and guess which way you're probably going to head out? Blind, naked, and dumb. But with a hope. But with a hope. Jesus laid down his life, but he had a hope. He knew that God could raise him back up. There wasn't a doubt in his mind. So let's just go here. It said, "For godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world." I'm going to move this down a touch. "It's certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be content therewith," or "be therewith content." That's the tough part, ain't it? Sometimes I want a little more than just a coat on my back and some food on my table. And my desires and my lust is what drives me. I was always taught growing up in the gospel that you should, if you want something really bad, pray about it 3 days and wait a week. That's 10 days. And you know when you have a wonder in the eye and you really want this and you want that, and you want, after 10 days, you probably don't want what you wanted anyway. And if you'd have gotten it, you'd already be wanting to trade it in. And so it says, "But they which be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition." That's not necessarily rich in money right there, but that's talking about rich in spirit. And I think that's the gist of what a lot of the youth are talking about. I don't want to just be rich in my spirit. I don't want to just be rich in me. That's easy to do. It's the first natural thing to do, is to be rich in ourselves. Who was it said? Brother Zach said, I believe, wasn't it? That it's a man can take things by his own hand and fix it. Was that you said that? Somebody said that. I think it was him. And that's a natural thing. It was natural for his papa to want to fix stuff. It's natural for his dad to want to fix things. It's because we're men and we're problem solvers. And our duty, and if you really embrace your duty as a husband to provide for your wife and your children, then whatever comes against the house, you're willing to do what hazard, whatever it may be. If I got to go back to roughnecking on drilling rigs, I will. If I got to pick up cans, I will. If I got to, whatever I got to do, I'll do that in order to provide for my family. But a lot of times, I need to just settle down and pray and get my mind captivated on the Lord, because if I'm just rich in spirit, then by my own lust, it drowns me. By my own desire, my own carnal desire to be successful or to achieve some form of goal, it will drown me in, what does it say? In destruction and perdition. And the more that you heap on yourself as a young person, that's the more you got to carry as you get older. You know that? Most kids when they graduate high school are $20,000 in debt. That's a statistic. Do what? College. Not high school, college, you're right. The first year of college. By the time they graduate their first year of college, thank you for that correction, that they are $20,000 in debt. But $20,000 ain't much. Sure, it's a lot. At $7.25 an hour, it's almost impossible to pay. Jaron tells me it's $4,000 short of a year's worth of pay at a 40-hour work week. Well, that's not bad. Okay. That's pretty bad. And so we do things to try to make more money, but yet as we make more money, we spend more money. Because our desires are such. There are certain things you have to have in life. You will need a car. You will need a home eventually. I've told mine, you're welcome to stay as long as you want. You can stay here till you're 30. I don't care. Okay, but after a certain point, you're going to start paying bills. That's the way that's going to work. All right, you're my retirement plan. Now, you can stay here, but my retirement plan's kicking in sooner. And they told me, Jaron, I'm leaving when I'm 20. I need to be out on my own by the time I'm 20. Well, okay. I'm thinking, God, you got 3 years to send him somebody that will love him and take care of him, help him fold his laundry, and do these things. I don't want to make this have too much levity in it. But he said there that, but the rich shall fall into temptation and a snare, into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition for the love. And this is where he gets into the other side of it. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Yes, exactly. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after. And this is what we all should seek to follow after. Righteousness. Right wayness. How to do something the right way. Though you have many counselors, you always got somebody willing to tell you what to do. I guarantee you there's 19 men up here, 20 if you count me, I count myself as a man. 20 men up here, and we all have a difference of opinion. We could all counsel on something, and all of our counsel would be more than likely different. But the aged men, once you grow to a certain place in your life, our counsel would start to become more and more aligned. Did you realize that? Because we realize the value of what it takes whenever you overindulge in something. That's why most of the older people, and I count myself in that group, at least because of working in the ministry, that we usually have work from the same area. We may be a little bit variance in some thinking of it, but we usually work within a certain parameter because we understand that if you overload yourself in life with debt, it's going to be rough for you. And so the first thing any of us older people are going to say, or any of us that's lived a number of years, we're going to say, don't buy it if you don't need it. Don't max out your credit card. You're wasting your life. It's just $25 a month and I can get a new lawnmower and chainsaw and all this other stuff. Okay. But that $25, I've seen time when $25, I'm kind of like Brother Durham. I've seen a time when $20 was a lifesaver. Thank God for it. I remember one time, and I'm kind of a proudful man. And that's something that God's had to chisel, and he's still working on that. I mean, it's something he always has to work on me. It's pride. Prideful prior. My Lord, what have you got to be proud about? I mean, you came from nowhere, and you're still really not much of anything. What are you proud of? I'm proud that I've been married 22 years. I'm proud that God kept me all these years. I don't want to use that word loosely there, okay? I know we don't use pride, but we can be proud of many things. It says, but follow after righteousness. Godliness. He just told us that godliness with contentment is great gain. Faith. Faith there is an action word. Love. Patience. Meekness. It's always taught that a meek man is a man that's teachable. A man that's not meek, a person that's not meek, you can't teach them anything. They don't have, they're too full of themselves to accept something from you. And I've learned a lot of things. I'm not a very meek man. Yeah, boy, I paint myself kind of black. I'm really a pretty decent person, I hope. God still works. God still loves me, at least at this point. I'm kind of like Jared. Y'all have been fooling me. So it says, fight the good fight of faith. And then he says this, lay hold on eternal life. Grab a hold of this. I had a person tell me here a while back, I don't care what happens in my life. All I know is if I can just put one foot in front of the other and walk through that door every time the church is open, I may not get much out of it, but if I can just make myself do that, then I know that eventually I'll walk through that problem. If I can just keep coming to church, no matter what the condition that afflicts me is, whether it's something external or something internal that's causing me this disruption in my life and this harmony of my life, if I can just make myself do it, then I will overcome that problem in time. It may take 6 months. It may take a year. I may be an old man. I may be 25 before it's over. But I know that if I can do that, I will come out victorious on the other side. That is somebody that's told themselves, I'm going to lay hold of eternal life. Brother Thompson, you've laid hold of it, ain't you? It's what you talked about here a while back. I ain't going to let go if I can just keep walking. Just keep on walking. Plow on the road. It says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Somebody said, I think it was Sister Bryant said last weekend, that I don't want to just come here and spend my life, my God, my entire existence here on this earth. And then at the end of it, realize I didn't really do nothing. I didn't really achieve. I played too much. I horsed around too much. I was too silly. I squandered my time. It's pretty quiet in here. We're called for a purpose. You're not called to just come fulfill a seat, play a piano for 75 years, come and sit here, marry, have kids, and let's build the kingdom of God from just raising kids. But we're called to be a witness in this earth. We're called for a higher purpose than just trodding along through here, and we got God as our co-pilot, and He's my sidekick, and I'm just going to, I got God on my side. We're here for a greater purpose than that. And as Paul said in the first part of, I think it's in the first part of Timothy, he said that. Isn't that where he said that that God came and saved me and showed patience or long-suffering to me first that those might see me? I was the first of many witnesses. Is that where he says that? First Timothy 1 and 15 says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all exception, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. I think his brother Souders used to say that, wasn't that him that said that Paul was the leader of the international sin gang? Let's see here. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy. Brother Smith was talking on mercy this morning. Mercy meets judgment. You want to tell you how you get your judgment stayed a little bit? You may still feel judgment, young people, coming up in life. You're going to feel that. But whenever you see your brother and sister going through a trial, instead of backbiting, instead of fighting against them, or instead of hating on them, cast a prayer their way. Give them a hand. Help them. Help them get through their problem. Help them. Sometimes you have to help people see themselves. And you can't do that in a malicious way. I remember when I went to nursing school and I got all out of nursing school. And y'all know I've gave my testimony of how I grew up. And so I kind of had a deep ingrained disdain for people who were addicts, people who were drunks, things of this nature. It really bothered me. And guess what my first patient was? It was a loud-mouthed, drunk old man. And I mean, he was rough as a cob. And they sent me into his room to give him a shot. And I felt something. I'm going to tell you how things work, how something can work in you. And you really don't realize it. I was 21 years old, and I went into this room, and I had to give this guy a shot in his hip. And so I went there, and this guy, I told him, I had to have him put on a hospital gown and such. And I had to help him do it. This guy was pretty much wasted, and he was cussing me and telling me off and how sorry I was and how sorry everything in life was, and this guy was in bad shape. But me, I went out there and got a 20-gauge needle, okay? Now, if you've ever been around anything, a 20-gauge needle is gnarly. That's all I can say. All right, it's going to be like getting shot with a number two pencil. And I went in there, and I filled that syringe and topped it off and got the air out of it, and I went in there and seen that old boy, and I bent him over that bed, and I thought, buddy, he didn't know what was fixing to happen to him, but he had 21 years of dislike fixing to happen to him. You say, my Lord, you're rough. You better believe it. And I gave him that shot, and I pulled out that syringe, and I went all the way into his. I actually missed where I was supposed to hit and went a little bit below it. Brother Fred's EMT, he knows what that'd probably be like. He knows what a 20-gauge needle is. And I hit bone, and I come out, and it had meat on it. Not big chunks of meat, but it had flesh on it. Well, how would you like it if God done that to you? You get to acting out, and God says, you know what? You've been doing this your whole life. We're going to help you right here. He don't do that. Thank God. We talk about the gospel. Ain't you glad he don't give you the gospel like that? And I walked out of that room, and I was filling out that thing, and all of a sudden I'd felt something I really didn't know what was happening to me. And I realized that I intentionally, of a purpose, full premeditated, I couldn't convince myself. I couldn't tell you, Jeff, you really didn't know what. Yes, I knew what that was. I knew what I was doing. I wasn't an idiot. I wasn't negligent. And I sat there and I filled out that logbook, and all of a sudden, tears come to my eyes. And I realized, oh God, I intentionally, of a purpose, went in there and with full motive of revenge, took it out on this person. Now, ain't nothing right about that, is there? Now, young, shake your head. No, because ain't nothing right about it, and I know it. By the time I got done being a nurse many years later, I was a whole lot more gentle than that. And I broke down at my nurse's station that day, and I cried for the first time in a few years. And I realized God expects more out of me than that. We can bottle up stuff in us, and we can take it out on the people around us. But in here, you're my brother, you're my sister. We care for each other. We should have a greater care for each other than that. And it says here, I'm sorry, I don't want to keep going on here. It says, howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy. I showed that man no mercy that day, although God was merciful to me, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering. For a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to eternal life, or to life everlasting. So now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever. Amen. Says this, that this I charge, I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. Ask yourself that. Am I warring a clean warfare? Am I fighting fair? Holding faith and a good conscience, with which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. You can take all this, as Sister Bryant was saying. I don't mean to call her out on anything, but we can make shipwreck what all we've accomplished here. And God can be trying to do something, and I can make shipwreck of it. It just takes one person to change something. You know that? It just takes one voice in here to get the whole thing going. One person backing, one person pushing, one person working, pulling together, trying to get this one on board and doing something. We're not just rowing endlessly. We're not just sitting here rowing the boat and nowhere to go. Whenever they had, back in the old Viking days, wasn't it? And they had the ships and the oars out there, and they had the guy that kept the, with the whip, I can still hear him, stroke, what's it called? Cadence. Well, they couldn't see outside. They didn't know if they was fighting. They didn't know what was going on. They were just rowing, and when he wanted to go faster, they went faster. And when they wanted to slow down, they slowed down. But we know exactly where we're going. We see where we're going to. And as the young men said, it's in that crossroads, it's in that part of our life that we have to be willing to put aside these things, to lay aside malice, to lay aside wickedness, evil surmisings and things like this, and not make shipwreck of our life. Let me go back to 1 Timothy 6. It says, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, wherefore, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in sight of God who quickeneth all things. He's made us all alive. I believe it says that the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The second man, Adam, was made a quickening spirit, or the second Adam, I don't think calls him a man there. The second Adam, a quickening spirit. I thank God that I've been quickened. You should thank God that you've been quickened in the Lord. You're alive now. That was dead now receives life. It's the greatest thing. It says, but and before Jesus Christ, who before Pontius Pilate, and this is all it says about him, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. It seems awful demeaning, awful belittling, that he just before being beat, being stoned and spit on and a crown of thorns placed on his head, and they mocked him and laughed at him and all the cruel things they done, and they tried to give him vinegar, and finally they nailed him to a cross, and finally they hoisted him up there in front of everybody and they mocked him and they put this sign up there, and that's just a good confession? But let me tell you, when God calls something good, it is great, okay? It is good. Somebody said that in 7 days he created all this. And right after that, the Bible says, we go back to Genesis, it said, and God looked and behold the creation of his creation and said, it is good. Being good is a good thing. I would love to give a good confession. They weren't demeaning him. It just kind of makes you think that, don't it? Says that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. And if we do this, if we keep our good works, I appreciate instruction. I don't begrudge somebody telling me instructions. It don't bother me. If it's a good instruction, I'm going to try it. I'm going to do it. That song started out, I will bless thee, O Lord. What greater thing can I do? I am a speck here. What greater thing can I do than just bless him and thank him for all he's done for me? I've enjoyed this service, and I'm going to enjoy the rest of it, and I don't want to put a damper on it. And if it wasn't for Mercy Meeting Judgment, I was going to ask the sister Lynette, if she had that song, Mercy, Rewrote My Life. If we didn't have that, rewriting our life, if this was a one-shot, one-kill deal, or just one shot and you're out, we'd be an empty building. But aren't you thankful that he gave you mercy, that he has gave you an opportunity? The Bible says, and I'm going to use this in this turn right for this point anyway, it says that in Matthew the 5th chapter, blessed are the, what is it, for they shall see God? Pure in heart, for they shall see God. But in St. John, Jesus said this, or it was said about him, said that no man hath seen God at any time. And then here in Timothy, he says that he's going to come back and show who is the only King of kings, Lord of lords, blessed potentate. So finally, you and I, as Brother Smith was saying, who have never seen God, I appreciated the sincerity in what he was saying, that we know something about him, but only through a mediator, only through because if you go back into St. John there in the first chapter, he says, we have not seen him, but his son bear record of him. And in that appreciation, that as Brother Zach said, I'm just tying all this together, okay? I'm going to put a bow on it in a minute and I'll sit down. But in all tying all this together, that he made all of this for our benefit, that he might have somebody or something that would come and worship him. And he called you, Sister Thompson, and me, and Brother Oates, and Sister Oates, and he put families together, and he brought people in here, and he cleaned them up, and he washed them up, and he put a jewel in their ear, and a ring in their nose, so to speak, and a band on their hand, and he sent us forth, and we should always have an appreciation for that, and a true thankfulness for that. And without, even in our failures, son, even in our failures, he that is merciful shall obtain mercy. And even when I'm running out of gallop and I trip and fall, mercy shows up and it rewrites my life. But it doesn't rewrite it if I'm not willing to have it rewrote. Remember that. You can't just run out. You can't just stay out, because mercy will rewrite your life. But it does require me making an attempt, coming back and allowing mercy to have its place in me. I'm not pushing for that song. It was just something on my mind. And so I appreciate the Lord. I appreciate seeing the growth in our young men and in our young women too. But just seeing the guys have gotten up more than the girls tonight. It's not a contest. But I appreciate seeing and hearing the depth that people have and are getting at a younger age than what I had. That's a family's desire, isn't it? Should be your desire for your children. And I would like to post a bouquet, if I can, of sorts. I'm not big on doing that, even though I probably should be. But I worked with Brother Dylan this past week for 2.5 days. Worked him in the dirt. But, you know, he's a good young man. And we had a good long conversation about life, love, and the pursuit of happiness and what he wants out of life. And how to be a better Christian. And I appreciate him. He's a very respectful man. You've done a good job, Sister Donna. Okay? You've done a good job. And you got a good young man there. He's got a good head on his shoulders. I know it ain't been an easy row to hoe, but you kept hoeing. And you know, time will tell what he will become. But if he can keep his head screwed on straight, huh? And so I appreciate him. Appreciate him going to work with me. I got to unload my toolbox, and you know, he just opened my tailgate and started doing all that. I didn't have to tell him all that. I told him I need the truck backed around. He just backs it around, do everything I need. And he's easy to teach. He's a teachable person. I said, I need a rear end putting this truck over here. We call him a chunk, okay? And I said, you need to pull these axles and pull that ring of bolts and jerk that thing out, and that's the way it all works. And he pretty much done it. I have helped him put it back in. You know that's really how God wants us to be? This is the right way, son. He does that through the hand of his ministry. He didn't sit there and argue with me. Well, that's not a 5/8, that's an 11/16. No, it's a 5/8, trust me. No, you got to do it this way, I promise. You can't do it any other way. He didn't sit there and argue. And my boys don't either, but I worked with him this week, boys. And he was tired. But anytime you put out energy, I like going home after a service and being tired. Not sick and tired. You ever go home from a service and you be sick and tired? Sure we have. I ain't going to ask for a show of hands, but I see a lot of nodding heads. But I like going home and knowing I've exercised. I've put out some effort. Anyway, I think I'll probably put out all I can handle tonight. For listening.
Praise God. Good.
Thank you, Brother Spencer. Praise God. You can keep standing. I do have a little sword up here. It's a, what is it? A lightsaber from Star Wars. Only a few people would know that. But anyway, there one is up here. And here's a pair of glasses, sunglasses. I don't think they'll fit me on. So you could, a little maybe for me, but anyway, I just give you an indication of size. They were found under the kitchen and the refrigerator in the kitchen. And here's a quarter. I'll put that in my pocket. All right. Praise God. Couple announcements. Saturday, this Saturday morning, 8:30. Men's work day. The men that are here are going to work on a few things and help us get a little bit of a head start for the youth meeting.